friends. You have now entered the Man Cave Podcast with Dan Casper, a podcast where we talk mostly about sports, but sometimes we mix in some other fun topics and conversations. So sit back and join us on this episode of the Man Cave Podcast with Dan Casper.
What up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of the Man Cave Podcast, brought to you by our wonderful friends from Hy-Vee and Toys and Ford. I'm Dan Casper, your host, as always, for every episode of the podcast. Appreciate you checking out this episode, whether you are a first-time listener or a regular listener. Don't forget to give us those solid ratings and reviews on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That way other people can find the Man Cave Podcast. So, and then be a friend, tell a friend, tell everybody about the Man Cave Podcast. On this episode, Packers begin OTA, so we're going to talk a little bit about that, and the position group to watch, or position groups to watch. So we'll hit that up, but first we begin talking a little Milwaukee Brewers, recapping this weekend series against the Tampa Bay Rays, and then looking ahead to their start against the Houston Astros tonight. Let's go back to Friday. We'll rewind it here a little bit. And, you know, before the series started, we were kind of wondering, pitching matchups don't really favor the Brewers. You had Adrian Hauser getting a start on Friday. It was a little TBD on Saturday, but we kind of figured, it was probably going to be Eric Lauer. And then we knew on Sunday it was going to be Freddie Peralta. But you go back to Friday, Adrian Hauser pitched a gem. And you hate to see performances like that absolutely wasted because, well, offense couldn't give him any support. Hauser went six strong innings, giving up just four hits, issuing only one walk, four strikeouts, no earned runs. Got the no decision, so at least he didn't get charged with a loss in this one. But the Brewers falling 1-0. They got eight total hits. Tampa only had five in that game, but they made one of those really count, and Brewers dropping that first game on Friday, which was kind of, I don't know, from a fan's perspective, a little bit of kind of demoralizing downs. Like, you got a fantastic game with Adrian Hauser on the mound. Fantastic performance from Adrian Hauser. Doing probably more than what we were just kind of hoping for. Going out there and just shutting them down. And the offense not able to help him out and pick up the win. And then you move to Saturday. Eric Lauer, who was recently moved to the bullpen because of his inconsistency with his starts so far this year, had a good performance coming out of the pen, you know, a few days ago. But with the injuries due to the pitching staff, by the way, Wade Miley's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, in case you didn't hear. So you're looking at least a couple months here. After the All-Star break, kind of looks like. Oof. Maybe around there. Yikes. But so Lauer getting back into the starting rotation because of injuries. And he didn't pitch well. And that's just kind of putting it politely. Three innings. Only going three innings. Six earned runs. Three home runs. Giving up three home runs. Just didn't have, for whatever reason, you know, Eric Lauer's just been really inconsistent so far as a starting pitcher this year. 4-5 now with a 5.48 ERA. Dude's going to have to step it up and fill in as a starter at this point. You can't just put him back in the bullpen. And hopefully he gets things worked out. Dude has got to figure it out because hopefully Brandon Woodruff's coming back sometime in June. Hopefully they could keep that ship kind of on the straight and narrow until Wade Miley can come back and be healthy. But Eric Lauer's got to be a pitcher who turns this thing around. Brewers need him to turn it around. We're not asking... The Brewers aren't asking him to go out there and be like a Cy Young type of pitcher. Just something to give the you know, this team a chance to go out there and win the ball games when he's a starter. He has got to improve his play. Can't go out there and have performances like he did on Saturday. With all these injuries, especially this starting pitching staff, that's got to be a guy that's got to step up his game. Step it up. Team's counting on you right now. And then yesterday, if you listen to Willie Adames after the game, you know, that kind of news. Like, yeah, we need this one. We really need to get this one. And they came out right away, Brewers, putting up a couple of runs through four. That lead didn't last too long because in the bottom of the frame in the fourth, Tampa tied it up, three apiece. But then the Brewers coming out in the fifth and putting up three more, and that was good enough to get the victory. Freddy Peralta picking up his fifth win of the season. He went six innings, three earned runs, one dinger, four Ks and three walks. So Brewers avoiding being swept by the Tampa Bay Rays. Still in first place in the NL Central, 25-21, one game lead over the Pittsburgh Pirates, but they got to feel the heat coming at them right now because the St. Louis Cardinals taking 3 out of 4 against the Dodgers. They're creeping up there. They're now third in the division, 5 games behind the Brewers. The Cardinals are playing some spectacular baseball right now. They're hot. They're on their run. Started the season slow, got into a hole, but now they're hot. Which I don't know too many, not only Brewers fans, but baseball fans in general that were just ready to write off the Cardinals after the first month of the season. We should know better. I think most of us do know better than that. And look out, because here they come. Things aren't going to get easier for the Brewers with their schedule coming up. Got Houston coming to town. Then you got San Francisco for four. Hopefully you can kind of give them a taste of their own medicine, what they did at the beginning part of the month. But then you got Toronto. Cincinnati for 4 games. There's an opportunity maybe to rack up some wins. Then you got Baltimore, second place in the AL East. Oakland coming to town. You better take care of business in that series. I know that's kind of into June right now, so we're looking a little too far ahead here. But nonetheless, things getting tighter. Getting a little bit tighter in the NL Central. So with the Astros coming to town now, as we kind of mentioned, Burnsy's going to get the start here, coming off that loss against St. Louis. It's not even worth it looking at the matchups here with the lineup going up against these pitchers, because you've got, you know, a game's worth, maybe not even a game's worth between these. I mean, Jesse Winker for the Brewers has the most at-bats against Javier, and it's 5 at-bats, and he's hitting 200. And you got a couple here. Owen Miller's got 4. And then Willie Adames a couple. William Contreras a couple. Tellez a couple, and that's about it. So, I mean, really, a lot of unfamiliarity with this thing. I mean, it's an NL-AL matchup, so it makes sense that you don't have a lot of numbers with these guys here. But if you're looking at some future starters for this series, Burnsy's getting the start tonight. Then it is a TBD for the Brew Crew tomorrow night. And then Hauser slated to get the start for the series finale on Wednesday. So there you have it. But one player, does he deserve some more playing time right now for the Crew? Brandon kind of mentioned him on Friday a little bit. Collected a couple more hits yesterday, hitting leadoff up there. Owen Miller, Wisconsin native. Owen Miller. Guy that plays infield, but really in spring training kind of showcased, hey, he can play some outfield there too. Position flexibility. You're looking at some of the games that he's played so far this year. He's played a little first. He's played a little second. Majority of time has been at second. Played a little third. play a little left, play a little right. We know the Brewers love their position versatility there. But right now, given the inconsistencies and the downplay of the offense, you're looking at what Owen Miller has been able to do throughout this season so far in 93 at-bats. He's got a couple home runs. But hitting 344 with a 367 on base and an 872 OPS. The guy's just feeling it from the plate right now. And I think you got to play the hot hand. You got to play a little bit of that hot hand. You got to keep him in that lineup. Keep that going. You don't have the luxury to, you know, sit a lot of guys who are playing really well right now, and given how your offense has been performing so far, inconsistency, and looking at the line, looking at your schedule, and looking at these tough matchups coming up, Owen Miller needs to play more. Now the question would be is like, where do you play him? Maybe who do you take out? But I think, I mean, you know, you figure out a way to get him in. You got to keep this bat in here. This is my thoughts on it. I know Brandon, shout out to Brandon for bringing him up the other day, but yeah, you know, yesterday I collected a couple hits at that leadoff spot. A little bit of a different lineup yesterday, right? Miller, Contreras, Yelich, hitting in that three spot. Yesterday's top three in that lineup. This is what we need to see. Your top three hitters. So the Brewers had 10 total team hits yesterday. Your top three hitters had six of them. Six of the 10 hits came from the 1-2-3 spot in that lineup. Miller 2, Contreras 2, Yelich 2. Then it followed up with Willy Adames, Ruff, and Tellez, and Anderson right behind them, all collecting a hit too. But your top three getting on base, setting the tables. And good to see, obviously, Christian Yelich back in that lineup too, after missing the prior series against St. Louis, just being careful with that back issue. But playing all three games against Tampa Bay, went hitless. And that Friday night game, collected a hit on Saturday. And then a couple yesterday. And keeping up kind of his latest run here. Yelly so far in his last 25 at-bats, 360, 429, slugging of a 760. And he's leading the team in batting average right now. Tied up there with the team lead in RBIs. Leading the team in stolen bases. Leading the team in runs. Let's keep her going, Yelly. Gotta keep her going. Team needs this guy to step up here too. Be consistent at the plate. Be a threat back at that plate, baby. Let's go. Looking at this series against the Astros again, I don't know. It's going to be tough. I think with Burnsy on the mound tonight, this is your best shot to get the W, to get a win. You just hope that the offense can come out and give him some run support tonight. And, you know, we've been talking about it. Burnsy hasn't been playing at a Burnsy level. You know, that we've set the bar so high for him because we've seen him, you know, these last couple years setting that bar so dang high. Before the season, it was Cy Young talk. It was strikeout leaders talk. It was even wins talk. I mean, all the strikeout leader, a lot of the major statistical categories for a starting pitcher, a lot of people pegged Corbin Burnes to be the leader at. And right now, he's not pitching awful, but he's just not pitching that level because we've put him up so darn high. We put him up on that high pedestal that we're like, yeah, he's not pitching that level yet. The offense needs to help him out tonight, though. Yeah, Burnsy needs to maybe up it up a little bit of a notch, especially with the starters banged up. More uncertainty within the starting rotation. So Burnsy's play, got to level up a little bit. Got to level one up. And that offense needs to help contribute a whole lot more, too. Got to get the win tonight with Burns on the mound. Set the tone early. Let's see what the... I know it's May, and I don't really want to get into a, you know, schedule watch or anything like this, but I'm just kind of what Cardinals... And see, the Cardinals got the Reds coming up here. They're visiting Cincinnati. I mean, there's a heck of an opportunity here. And one, two... So is it four games? One, two... Yeah, four games against the Reds. I mean, the Cardinals have a heck of an opportunity here to gain even some more ground here. And then the weekend series, they're going up against the Guardians. And then after that, the Cardinals have the Royals. You know, not to get into a whole schedule watch thing here, but you're looking at the upcoming Cardinals schedule. They've got a heck... The way they're playing right now, I wouldn't be surprised if in a couple weeks they're like a game out or even maybe first place in the division. Four against the Reds, the weekend series against the Guardians. After that, they've got a couple games against the Royals, three games against the Pirates. Then they got a tough one against the Rangers after that, beginning part of June. But then right after that is a series against the Reds, then you got the Giants. Leading into middle of June. So the way the Cardinals are playing, and you're looking at their upcoming schedule, they have a really good shot to make a run at this and get even closer up in the standings. And you're looking at the Brewers' schedule. You got Houston, you've got San Fran, you've got Toronto, at Baltimore. If we're kind of comparing side by side between the Brewers and the Cardinals' schedules here, Brewers have the tougher schedule. With Houston mixed in there, Toronto mixed in there, Baltimore mixed in there. Big part. It's going to be kind of an interesting next couple weeks, few weeks here when you compare both Brewers and Cardinals. If we're kind of keeping an eye on the standings race here, I hate to do that in May because there's such a long, long part of the season. We're not even halfway through it, but I have this feeling once the Cardinals catch up, maybe even take the lead, you're going to have a lot of maybe pessimistic Brewers fans like, there you go. I get it. Man, it's going to be interesting couple weeks here. Have you started planning your summer vacations yet? Making that checklist of things you need to do before that vacation? Now let me ask you the next question. Are you confident your vehicle can handle that road trip that you're planning? If you hesitated, the answer is no. So here's what you do. Just visit Toyson Ford and check out their new and used inventory to upgrade that vehicle of yours. Or you can schedule an appointment with their service center to get your vehicle ready for that road trip. Make your vacations this summer more memorable with the help from Toyson Ford. Summer is a busy time. Holidays, vacations, get-togethers. Which also means you're going to need a lot of food. So you need a go-to place you can trust that has the widest selection of products. With the best prices and the best fuel saver program in the Chippewa Valley. That's Hy-Vee in Eau Claire. From their meat department, deli, bakery, and more, Hy-Vee has you covered for all those get-togethers and vacations for this summer. Plus, save more money for your vacations with their epic fuel savers program. Make it a memorable and epic summer with the help from Hy-Vee. Packers begin OTAs today. Media will be able to check out a little bit of the practice tomorrow, but you hate to say it, but it's going to be here before you know it. Training camp, preseason football, and then the regular season. So owners meetings beginning today, not far from us, just a little bit to the west in Minnesota. So maybe at some point in the next day or two, maybe today, we'll find out if Green Bay is, in fact, going to be hosting the NFL draft in 2025. We should be able to, I think we'll probably know in the next couple days here at the meetings just to the west of us. But with OTAs beginning today, kind of a question I threw out at the beginning part is, I know we've got a lot. I mean, it's just OTAs, and we got training camp and preseason and such. But given the current structure of this team and how it's been put together, I don't imagine any other big time moves. Maybe a veteran free agent signing here or there, but for the most part, I think this is going to be the core. This is going to be the main group here. What position group do you think will be the most intriguing? What position group are you going to be following along, maybe throughout this whole offseason, in terms of, you know, like battles for starting job or for depth? We threw out safeties, assuming Darnell Savage is going to be one of the starting safeties. You know, who's going to be that other one? Could it be Owens, the free agent signing? Could it be Ford, Rudy Ford? Made some plays last year. Was initially brought on to be a special teams ace when Jacksonville cut him. Dallas, though, making a couple of picks, kind of put his name on the map for Packers fans. Could it be Anthony Johnson Jr. from Iowa State, who was a seventh-round pick? Surprised he was there in the seventh round. I love the pick, and I just was reading, I think it might have been Friday, his position coach singing his praises. Couldn't believe his athletic ability from what he's seen so far. I think it's an open competition for that other safety spot. I don't, you know, just because Owens was brought in, I don't think that guarantees him anything. I don't think it guarantees Ford anything. I think it's an open competition spot. Is that the one that intrigues you the most? Is it wide receiver number three, number four? Could it be Samari Torre? Could it be the rookie from Michigan State, Reed? Both. Heard nothing. That's the thing, too. We got to take a lot of this with a grain of salt from some of the coaches when they, you know, come up to the podium, especially the younger guys, come up to the podium for like a May media session and, you know, make it sound like this is going to be the next Hall of Famer out there. And take it a little bit of a grain of salt here, right? I mean, for one, like for the rookies, this is the first time that some of these position coaches got to work with them. So, you know, they're not going to be down and too hard on them right away. But I think there's some excitement with Reed coming in here. But you're looking at that 3-4, assuming Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs are going to be your 1-2 wide receivers. Maybe it's your 3-4-5 positions for or depth for wide receiver. Or is it from center to the right side of the offensive line? You know, could Myers be in jeopardy of losing his job to maybe a guy like Zach Tom? Could right guard go to Zach Tom? Could right tackle go to Zach Tom or Yosh Nijman? I think if I were to rank him, I'm really curious. Probably number one would be the offensive line from center to right tackle. I think, you know, I know a lot of the chatter in the early parts of the offseason was that Myers would lose his job as the starting center to Zach Tom. I think right now Josh Myers is going to have that job, and it's not to say he can't lose it. But I think right now it's still his. And then you look at the right side there, you got John Runyon Jr. You throw in a little Royce Newman. You throw a little Surveyor Sam's boy, Sean Ryan. You throw in Zach Tom. I think there's a battle for that right guard position. And then, right tackle, is it Yosh? Is it Zach Tom? I think Matt LaFleur has praised ever since he's been there, or he's preached, I should say, the five best will play. The five best offensive linemen will play. Now, last year we kind of saw a little bit of five best were playing, but were they necessarily playing in their best positions? Talking about Elgton Jenkins and going over the right tackle side and wasn't necessarily working, so they put him back to his left guard and stabilized that offensive lineup a little bit more. But Green Bay's got to figure out to get Zach Tom in this lineup. He's one of their five best offensive linemen. Where is that going to be? And I also think you've got to figure out a way to... Now, a full offseason for Yosh Nijman getting reps at right tackle. I know last year, was it Stenovich, their offensive coordinator, former offensive line coach, so he's very familiar with these guys. But he talked about last year, you know, Yash was more comfortable at left tackle. He's more of a left tackle than a right tackle. But you kind of wonder, okay, maybe more reps at right tackle, maybe a majority of reps at right tackle in these offseason programs, he can develop into a nice right tackle option. Maybe he's their future left tackle after this year. I think, everybody, raise your hands. Do you think this is David Bakhtiari's final year in Green Bay? I do. I know you can't see me, but I'm raising my hand. I do. I think this is final year. So is Yash that future left tackle then? So is he your starting right tackle this year, or is he going to be that utility tackle? There's questions on this offensive line that I don't know how it's all going to play out right now, to be honest with you. I really don't. I have no idea. And I don't even want to try to predict here on what May 22nd what it's going to look like. To me, that's going to be the number one competition starting in OTAs, going into training camp, preseason and such. From center to the right side, that battle, who is going to be starting center, starting right guard, starting right tackle. Left side's already locked up. It's Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins. Move along. But what is it going to look like? And I feel like you have to figure out a way to get Zach Tom in that lineup. Okay, you put him in there. Who's out? Who loses their job? Then I would probably go wide receiver as my number two for who wins, like, or I shouldn't say wins, but, you know, for that third and that fourth and maybe even that fifth spot on the wide receiver trail or on the wide receiver depth chart. Reed, tomorrow you got Wicks, another rookie, you know, coming in here too. It's going to be an incredibly young group. An incredibly young group. A lot of inexperience there. So it's going to be interesting to see, assuming they don't bring in a veteran, maybe they still do at some point, but seeing who kind of runs away, I shouldn't say runs away, but who wins, has a very good offseason, and wins that three spot, and how the rest of the depth chart kind of flows out. Will it be Reed? Will it be Torrey? And I think for the most part, when you come to wide receiver depth charts, it's not like an offensive line depth chart where it's like you got your starting five and we know everybody else is backups and very sparingly, you know, playing time. Wide receivers, you could be that three guy, you could be that fourth guy, you're going to get reps. You may just not have as many reps as the ones and the two of Watson and Dobbs, but you're going to get reps. You're going to be playing at some point. So I feel like, you know, depth chart, wide receiver, it might get a little, we might put a little too much into it when it's not necessarily the same thing as like an offensive line depth chart, where we know that's the five, that's always going to be the five out there. But, you know, when you get to a wide receiver depth chart, yeah, your top four, top five, they're going to get some reps. Top three for sure. Oh, yeah. And then I think safety, you know, Savage is going to be a starter. Ken Owens, I think he's going to be slated to probably be that number one. Will he hold on to that? Last year had his breakout year. Can Anthony Johnson Jr. go out there and impress? I'm a big fan of his. Rudy Ford, could he be a guy that steps it up and maybe increases his role on this team, expands a little bit more from just being a special teams guy? I know after that Cowboys game last year, he was getting some more snaps at starter. All hands on deck, though. But to me, I think the most intriguing position group to watch, now that OTAs is set to begin today, is going to be that right side of that offensive line. How's it all going to shake out? How's it all going to play out? They got a little bit of depth there. They got to figure out their starters first. I think they got to figure out a way to get Zach Tom in that starting lineup, whether it's And he's a guy that's played every spot, too. He's played center in college. He's played left tackle. We saw him play a little to left tackle last year. Right tackle. We saw him play guard. So, I mean, what's his best spot? That's going to do it for this episode of the Man Cave Podcast. Big thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Man Cave Podcast. A couple of quick reminders for you. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to the Man Cave Podcast on your favorite podcasting platforms like Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, Amazon, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can leave us a voice message, whether it's a comment, analysis, or a question for a question and answer segment. Just get that link in the podcast description. Also, don't forget to rate and review the podcast if you haven't done so already. This helps other people find the Man Cave Podcast. And be a friend and tell a friend about the Man Cave Podcast. Until the next episode, I'm Dan Casper, and thank you for listening to the Man Cave Podcast.